There's a story in the tech magazines a few weeks ago, which I found really fascinating. It was about the design of the International Space Station and how when it was built, when it was constructed, it was made by men with largely the assumption that anyone populating it would be male. And so it did not take into account any female aspects of living there.
It's even not even that conscious, is it? It's like just everyone is like me, therefore I'll just make something that suits me.
So all the portholes, for example, are at a height for someone who is around 6 feet tall. And so, you know, while the male astronauts are over there looking out the window, just standing there, the female astronauts have to be, you know, using the zero gravity to float up to the porthole. And it's just little things like that which you start realizing are everywhere. They permeate every aspect of our life, including the architecture and design of our homes, of our offices, and all these spaces. Why is there that absence of gender equality in architectural design? Julie Wills is a professor of architecture and dean of the Faculty of Architecture and is part of a symposium that's looking at this. Good morning, Julie.
Good morning.
Where does the problem start? Does it start with the fact that architects don't take into account gender disparities, or is that there just aren't enough female architects?
Look, I have to say that architects are trained to look at these kind of things. When I was an architecture student, I was made to go into the male toilets so I could see things like urinals.
That was a shocking moment for you, I'm sure.
Oh, no, it's very exciting. It was empty at the time.
Okay, good.
As an architect, you do need to think about other people, but there are a whole lot of things that are unconscious. You tend to design for yourself. When we have students, they design bedrooms with beds up against the wall, for instance, not thinking that the bedroom might have more than one person in it.
Yeah.
It's a classic case of just thinking about your own experience and then not designing for other experiences. So you can get classic things where in the space station they're only thinking that astronauts will ever be male.
Yeah.
But it's not always happening.
What's interesting, though, is that where are the checks and balances with that? Because in other fields, for example, when we program music or whatever, we're always having to make sure that we're aware of our unconscious bias. And there are people checking to say, well, actually, no, you don't have enough of this thinking around it. Is that the problem, that there's no oversight and people actually looking into design to say, look, where is everybody being thought about here?
Look, there are a whole lot of things that regulate, say, the number of toilets in a building and the number of male and female toilets. But they're the big things. It's the subtle things that are actually harder to legislate for. It's like trying to write the rules for every situation. Very hard to do.
Can you give me an example of
subtle
thing?
Yeah, what are the little things?
Oh, look, you know, if you think about it, when you go to another country where the rules, you can't, no one's told you what the rules are about behaviour. No one's told you how to use the space. You go in there and you feel very awkward. You feel as though you don't belong. So that means that space and that society has got a whole lot of unwritten things going on. And because you're the outsider, you can't read it and no one's told you, because they assume that you know. We're always designing environments in that way because we're designing for the dominant culture. When we have other cultures or other people, they may not feel so comfortable in those, and that's one of the reasons you need a diversity of people designing so that they can think more broadly.
I know one of the examples that's been used recently is around how easy it is for parents to get around with prams, because there's a lot of not of that thinking going on in our city. There's lots of stairs. There's lots of difficulty kind of navigating some of the spaces.
Well, it's absolutely true. If you've ever spent time trying to wheel something along, you know how difficult it is to cross gutters and those kinds of things. And again, it's just a matter of somebody having to think about it and to embed it in the way that they design and the way they plan for things. And they need those experiences to do that. So the more people who have the experiences, the more we see that.
Do we have enough diversity then in the architectural field? Are there enough men and women
and
working?
Diversity.
Is there, people from different backgrounds working? Or is it, like some of the other industries we've seen, largely historically been dominated by males?
Look, historically, yes, very much dominated by males. We've had gender parity in architecture students graduating for about 30 years, but it doesn't play out in the profession in the same way. So we haven't, like in a lot of...
So the dropout rate
there's a dropout rate
graduating.
After graduation.
That's interesting. Why?
it's a tough working environment in a lot of offices. They work very long hours. It's not necessarily compatible with having a family. It can also mean that the demands that are put on you, part-time is difficult, and the pay is not fabulous, so people make other decisions, and women often go off to do different things because they can get a paycheck and they don't have to work as long hours.
So what's the solution?
Well, I think the solution is really to look at the way the profession itself is structured. Look, everywhere on a war for talent. The best employees, the best talent, it's going to come from everywhere. As an employer, you've actually got to set up your circumstances, your firm, so you're looking for the best talent and you're taking it in. So it's a great benefit to have good working conditions. So the profession really needs to think about the working conditions that it has and to make sure that it's attracting the best talent from anywhere, whether it's culturally diverse people or whether it's male, female. That's what we need to do.
It's a conversation that will continue, no doubt, at the Architecture Symposium that's taking place. Where can people go for that?
It's being held at the University of Melbourne today and tomorrow at the Architecture Building or the Melbourne School of Design.
Is that a good-looking building?
It's a good-looking building.
You'd want to hope so, wouldn't you?
It's a lot of pressure on that building. Julie Willis, Professor of Architecture and Dean of the Faculty of Architecture, Building and Planning. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.